God wants us together. He wants us together in fellowship. It's so important, especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching. I watched a little clip last night of, I don't know if anybody saw it, it was about that Reverend Moon. It was a stadium filled with people who were believing. This guy died 3 years ago, and his bride is sitting there next to an empty chair, which is where he would have been. And the people are just flocking by the thousands to be married still in the Unification Church because they believe that this guy was the Messiah. And most of them were young, bright, intelligent young people. And my heart was just grieving. You see, Satan is alive, isn't he? And he's very active. He's deceiving the minds of so many. And we've got to stay close to the Lord. Jesus said there would be many false prophets, many false Christs as well. And so while we're living in those days, folks, we don't have to look at the things that are happening around us and worry. Because worry for a child of God is illegal. Amen?
Amen.
If you're worrying, it's illegal. You got to get with God. Shut yourself in. Worship. Praise Him. Draw near to Him. Let His love, amen, fill your heart up. And you'll find all of a sudden the thing that was, you know, that was this big is now this big. How many have you discovered your problems shrink in His presence?
Amen.
Is that what I was all stressed out about? Well, I just felt led of the Lord to go in this direction. We're going to kind of shift a bit. Back to something that is so fundamental and so foundational and yet so often is overlooked. And it's prayer. It's prayer. The importance of prayer. And the title of this morning's message is Prayers That Get Answered. Prayers That Get Answered. How many of you want your prayers answered? I saw that hand over there. Yeah. We all want our prayers answered, sure. And there's a few things, though, we need to know. Because how many have felt like your prayers have just not, you don't even have to raise your hand, but you've been doing a lot of praying and not seeing a lot of results. Sometimes there's a reason for that. Sometimes it's not just because God is saying that you need to wait for the answer. Sometimes that's what's going on. But there could be some other reasons why your prayers aren't getting through. Sometimes it's as if we have to bore a hole through the heavens when we pray. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever heard the term praying through? There is an individual anointing on every child of God. I believe that. If you have the Holy Spirit, amen. But then there's the glory of God, the manifest presence. And when we pray as individuals, we are praying as like a little cloud, and then we create a large crowd when we come together and pray corporately. And yet there are times when the clouds are overshadowing the sky. It's, you know, even times when the psalmist said, when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, you know. And there's times when it just seems like we're not getting through. And sometimes you can pray, you can travail, you can fast, you can do all these things and still not get through. And it's because sometimes we're overlooking something that the Lord is trying to point out in our lives that is actually stopping your prayers. We are in a battle. There is a war going on. And remember when Daniel had set his face to seek the Lord, the day that he had set himself in his heart to seek the Lord, the answer actually was already on its way, but it was delayed for 21 days. Amen? Because there was a battle going on in the heavens. And folks, the same thing is happening today. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. We are in a war, and as a soldier, we cannot be passive. If you are passive in this army, you will get stomped. I'm going to say it again if I have to. That was a good amen right there.
Amen.
Come on, we are in a war. And it's a battle for your soul and for the souls of men. Amen?
Amen.
And we've got to fight the good fight of faith. And we have a greater one on the inside of us who can give us victory in every situation. But if we don't listen to His voice, If we don't come into agreement with the will of God, then we're going to just spend a lot of energy and a lot of time in something that's really going to be vain in the end. Most of us know, or we believe we know what we need. At least I do. Maybe you're not that way, but I sometimes think I need this, and God says, you don't really need that. What you need is this. You know, we have our wants, and even sometimes perceived needs, but they're not necessarily needs at all, really. And sometimes God is going to work a different way in your life than what you are looking at right now. We see something happen in our lives and say, well, God, I need help with this. I need this fixed. I need this changed. And sometimes God doesn't change what we think needs to be changed. Why? Because he wants to change you in the process. And because he wants to show you his way, which is higher than our way. He has those doors that we didn't know existed. We're looking over here for solutions. We're depending on the government. And God says, I'm bigger than the government. The government's a drop in the bucket. Amen? He's God of the nations. We need to trust in the Lord. Amen? Who is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, to take care of us. So three things. Number one, when we pray, we need to, number one, know who God is. Right? Two, that we have access to him. Three, that our prayers can be effective. First one is Jeremiah 32:17, who God is. He said, Ah, Lord God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You know, sometimes we have these little tiny problems that are really nothing. You know? And yet the enemy just magnifies everything, you know, and makes it look so big and so impossible in our eyes. Have you ever had that problem? Come on. And yet we are children of the God of the universe, of the Most High, El Elyon. We're his kids. And we're not beggars. We're not servants. We are children of God. Amen. Who serve our Father. But our identity is a child of God. And therefore, we need to understand the immensity, how big is our God. When we pray. Who he is. He's infinite. He can do anything. He spoke everything that is into existence. Amen. We're results of his word. He determined that we would be here. On the earth at such a time as this. Even this morning that you'd be here. Secondly, we need to believe and know that we have access to him. And this is one of the problems too, is sometimes we are self-condemned too. And when we pray, when we come before God with kind of like, well, this is probably not going to do any good because I'm such a worm. How many know that God is gracious? Amen. Aren't you glad? Yeah. That even when he knows what you're really like, he still loves you? Even when he knew who we were before we had any idea about him, he still loved us first. He really loves us. God is in love with you. But he's a good father. And a good father is going to teach responsibility to his kids. Amen? We've got to be responsible as his kids. If we want the favor and the blessing of our father, that means we have to obey him. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore what? We know this. Come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Because of what Jesus did, folks, he opened heaven for us. He opened the way into the Most Holy so we can come with confidence But we've got to come with the right heart. We've got to come in agreement with the will of God. This is the place where we have a problem, is because we want to be our own God and have it our way. Because we think we know better sometimes. We don't say that, but maybe unconsciously we're actually living that. Well, God, don't you see, you know, Mary and Martha, you know, their brother had died. Jesus, didn't you realize that if you'd been here sooner, he wouldn't have died? Oh, he knew exactly what was going on. He did exactly what the Father showed him to do and when to do it. So we think we have a better idea sometimes. At least I've thought. Anybody ever thought that way? You had a better idea than God? I see that one honest hand back there. God bless you. Number three, of course, our prayers can be effective, right? Amen. Now, I want to say this, regardless of how long you've been a believer. As a matter of fact, some old timers can have a problem with new timers. Is that a word? Because it's like every time they ask for something, it seems like, here you go, here you go. And they say, God, we've been serving you all these years, and we've been faithful, we've been in the house, and how come you never killed the fatted calf for us? Well, what did he say to the older brother in the prodigal story? He said, well, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. What's the problem? It's sometimes our own unbelief that hinders, amen, our prayers. And so the newborn babes too, God knows that they're going to need an extra measure of grace, amen? And they're going to be bottle fed for a while, and God's just going to take care of them in ways that some of us are just going to have to wait on. Why? Because he's developing us in faith and trust and hope and love. God is wise, and he knows what is good for us. He knows that everything has to be in its time to produce the best results. Come on, I've been out there. I planted seeds in the garden before. And the next day I'll be out there saying, nothing yet. Come on, hurry up. Put some Miracle-Gro on that, you know. Depends on the seed. Some seed takes longer than others to grow. But one day you see something bursting out from the ground and say, oh yeah, here it comes. We just need to be patient in the process. One of the biggest problems I think we have is we understand the importance of prayer, most of us do, but we have difficulty maintaining our prayer life. And you don't want to know why? Because we're in a war. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have been given the prayer, amen, prayer as a way of accessing heaven, the throne, amen, of our Father, to release his kingdom here in the earth realm. And so because of that, the enemy seeks to thwart the plans of God by working on you and I, by creating distractions. He can't stop us, but he can distract. He'll give us alternatives. He'll give us a phone call. He'll give us that favorite program on television. He'll find some way to keep you from committing yourself to a life of prayer. Why? Because he knows that if he can keep us from praying, that he can shut us down. He can weaken us and overtake us. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. The more you pray, the more power you'll have. We're living in a time that we definitely need to pray more. Would you agree? Man, we've got to be armored up when we face this world. And it's impossible to walk in the Spirit without a healthy prayer life. Now, in 1 Timothy, Paul gave Timothy these instructions in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. In verse 1, he said, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And then in verse 8 he says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Not just the women, guys. He specifically, the Holy Spirit specifically put that in there, that men pray everywhere, amen, holding up holy hands. How many would agree we need some praying men? Yes. Amen? We need some men of prayer. Sometimes we just want to give it over to the ladies to take care of the prayer. Come on, it's getting quiet in here this morning. But we've got to get back into the closet with Jesus. We've got to shut ourselves back into the prayer. Amen? We've got to have quality time with God. Throughout the day, yes, you can pray, but there's got to be a time you set aside and you spend time with God. You pray and you seek Him. If we don't pray, we're not going to have the grace that we need to help us in our time of need. Supplications. The first thing he says, first of all, supplications. You know, supplication is a strong and earnest pleading. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, says he sweat great drops of blood. He agonized in prayer. There's a supplication. There's a time for that. Travail, if you will, almost as if a woman was in childbirth. You know, she's in the process of giving birth. There has to be prayer sometimes where you travail until you give birth, until there is a breakthrough. Hallelujah. And the heavens open up. And then you become that open heaven that's walking around, that people are going to encounter God through your life, whether you say a word to them or not, just because you're under an open heaven. Because you've got breakthrough in your life. And you've got to keep that open by continuing in prayer. Guys, we've got to rise up. How many know in the home, in the family, amen, we need men that are going to pray, that are going to seek His face. Amen. The ladies, you're saying, yeah, I need my husband there, amen, by my side, praying and agreeing with me, amen. And as you pray together, you'll stay together too. Keep the devil out, amen. Like the old African song, it said, shut the door. Keep the devil in the night, right? Shut the door. You got to shut the door on him. How many know that he doesn't like the light? So when we're in the light, we're abiding in the light, we're abiding in Christ through our relationship, through our prayer. And it keeps him out. You know, praise is, for folks, in a sense, it's another form of prayer with music. We're praying. And the glory of God, amen, comes down. Why? Because we are creating an atmosphere for the glory, for the presence of God. When we pray, hallelujah, heaven comes down. The glory of God comes. And as Barb had pointed out, and it says He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. So we're creating, if you will, in the realm here that we're in, a throne for God to dwell in as we pray. As we praise, we're creating an atmosphere for Him to come and dwell. You and I, if we're in Christ, we've been Spirit-filled believers, we can pray and believe God for certain things. There's a certain anointing in your life that is very easy for you to walk in and operate in. Amen? But then when we come together corporately and we begin to pray for a breakthrough, there comes a time when the glory, the Shekinah glory of God comes in, and now all of a sudden miracles are like that. Are you with me? Nobody even has to lay hands. But when we have an atmosphere where He is welcomed and invited to be Lord in our midst. Amen? Not in our program, but Lord in our midst. God's not opposed to programs, but if our programs shut Him out, it needs to be scrapped. This is all about knowing God. It's all about encountering Him, walking with Him, making Him known. Amen? It's not about playing church on Sunday morning. You guys know that. It's not about religion. Jesus didn't die on the cross to give us religion. He came to give us life, and life abundantly, full life. Superabundant, really, it means. Superabundant life in quantity and superior in quality life. That's our Jesus. That's what He wants for you. But you've got to come into the throne and you've got to receive it. How many know it just doesn't, you just sit around hoping one of these days it's going to happen? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Set your heart, seek Him, and you'll find. Father, thank You for this word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You will continue to speak, reach, and touch through me in Jesus' name. I desire, therefore, verse 8, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. The second form of prayer is prayers. It means that word prayers in chapter 2 and verse 1 of 1 Timothy is a general term for all kinds of reverent approaches to God. And, of course, most of us are familiar with intercessions, but intercessions is an approach to a ruler with a petition. We're coming before the King of Glory with a petition. And we are praying what? On behalf of others. We are standing in the gap, praying on behalf of others. We have awesome intercessory prayer here Friday nights. And I want to encourage you to come out because, man, we're just, it's glorious. Because we're coming together to seek the Lord. Amen? To seek His presence, to seek His face. We're good at asking God for stuff, you know. You know why? That's one of the reasons why people don't pray is because they think it's just boring. It's just about sitting around asking for stuff. You know, some prayer meetings, that's what they are. They're just sitting around asking for stuff. And how many know that prayer is much more than sitting around asking for stuff? Prayer is communication. It's relationship. And God is exciting. God is a life-giving spirit. He will give you joy, love, peace, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, all the things that we need. It's all in Him. It's in His presence. We're just doing a sing-along, amen? It's not about singing along or just kind of going through the motions and writing down a prayer and just reciting a blah, 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 thinking about the roast at home and blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. It's about relationship. It's about communion with Him in the Spirit. Connecting with God is life-giving, superabundant in quantity, superior in quality. That's the life Jesus said that I've come to give you. You don't have to live, amen, on top ramen in the Spirit. You can have prime rib. Come on. We can eat and drink and be satisfied to overflowing. My cup runneth over. David was a worshiper. That's why his cup overran. Come on. How many know all those songs are, psalms are songs, right? That's why I like him. I like David. And I say, Lord, give me a heart like David. Minus the adultery stuff, you know. But give me a heart like David. A heart of love and passion for God and for people. You know, a man after your own heart. That's what I pray. I want to be a man after God's own heart. You know, He doesn't want us just seeking His hand. You know, what we can get. But He wants us to seek His face. He wants us to enjoy Him. He is joyful. He is enjoyable. He's pleasurable. I said He's pleasurable. God is awesome. He is pleasurable beyond words, beyond description. He's exceeding joy. Exceeding love. Wow. Higher love. Was it Huey Lewis? Was like, give me a higher love, or one of those songs that was, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Higher love is the most high. Amen? Amen. And when we're tasting and seeing how good the Lord is, it creates thirst. It creates a thirst for more. That's why they bring out appetizers, you know, get things moving, right? Hopefully you'll order more. course, it's all about money for the world, but God gives us appetizers, you know, in the spirit. But that's not to be the main course. That's only to be the beginning point, amen, to where we're going to desire more of His fullness in our lives. He's the only one that's going to ever complete you and I. Come on, we try to fill our lives up with entertainment and this and that, but it just doesn't work. It never satisfies us. It's fleeting. It's temporary. You know, your show's over now. Okay, oh, well, I'm just going to take an aspirin and go to bed. You know, it's like, but in God, it's not like that. In God, there is such joy, such ecstasy, such amazing love that He's saying, come to Me. Drink of the water of life freely. I've opened the fountain through My broken body and shed blood. I've made it possible for you to come, hallelujah, into the glory, into the throne of grace, and to receive all that you have need of and more. You don't have to starve. You don't have to eat, amen, junk food anymore. If we're just busy eating junk food, then we're not going to have a taste and have an appetite for that which really satisfies. Are you hearing me? If you're filling yourself up on the things of this world, you're not going to have a hunger for Him who truly satisfies, which is eternal. I may have discovered that. God's trying to wean us off. He says, you'll have no other gods before Me. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself from lesser things that are there to choke you and distract you away from knowing Him who is eternal life. Who is your life? God's jealous over us because He loves us and He wants our fellowship. He paid the highest price for our fellowship. That we can pray to Him now. We don't have to, amen, go to the high priest once a year to get behind the veil for the sins of the people. Now we can come confidently to the throne of grace. Thank God, because of what Jesus did, you and I are a royal priesthood. And we can come to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. We need to take advantage of what God has freely given to us and made available. Why? Because we need the glory of God. We need to see God move, amen, in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our nation. We need to get back to prayer as a people, not to sit around and just ask for a few things, but there needs to be a travail until there is a breakthrough, amen? And the sovereign God begins to move and dispatches angels, and they begin to sweep across this nation, and the fear of God comes on all the souls of people, and they begin to tremble and cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? Amen. We need a breakthrough, folks. We need to pray through. Keep on praying in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayer. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Because if you sow in the Holy Spirit and you don't get weary and you don't quit, you don't give up, what you have coming to you will return in the season that God appoints for it. We're not giving up. We're not giving up on Shelton. Amen? We're believing. We're going to get out there. We're going to beat the street. We're going to do what God tells us to do. We're going to love on people, but we're going to pray that God's going to shake the hearts, amen, of the people of the city out of the complacency, out of the apathy, out of the delusional thinking that life is going to continue to go on like it has, because I have news for you, and you know this is true, that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. And we better be ready, because He says, I'm coming in an hour when you think not. James 5:13 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you know he was talking about Elijah there? Elijah, he says, was a man of like passions as you and I. You know, and he prayed, and he earnestly prayed that the heavens would be stopped up and it didn't rain on the earth. And why did he say that? Why did James put that in there by the Holy Spirit? Because he's trying to say that, listen, don't think that that was Elijah. It's just little old me over here. He's saying he's no different than you and I. That's what he says. Do we know who we are? Do we know what God is giving us and making available to us if we will seek Him? And draw from Him. Amen? You see, Christianity is not something you achieve. Right? Grace is not something you achieve. It's something you receive. You receive. It's free. It's not because I'm so good. It's because He's gracious. Listen to this. Every prayer based on the will of God and offered in faith by a person in right relationship with God is answered. I'll read it again. Every prayer based on the will of God and offered in faith by a person in right relationship with God is answered. Every prayer based on the will or the word of God and offered in faith by a person in right relationship with God is answered. If a person truly believes God wants to answer their prayers, they will pray more. Can I suggest to you, folks, that prayerlessness in our lives equals unbelief? I love you. But, you know, I'm speaking to myself today, too. If we really believe that our prayers are important, that they're effectual, that they can change the way things are, then we pray more. And we pray with confidence, faith in the God that we serve, who is an amazing God, who is the biggest, most high God, amen, that created all things. He can do anything. Why do we worry about this trivial, small matter stuff when we have as our Father the God of the universe? So what are the conditions of a healthy prayer life? Number one, it's got to be the will of God. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we need to know what God is saying. We need to know the heart of the Father through the Spirit to pray in agreement with the will of God. Whenever it's the will of God and we're in right relationship and we pray, it will happen. Number two, the name of Jesus. This is the second condition, the name of Jesus. If you ask anything in My name, Jesus said, I will do it. Condition for that, though, is in John 15:7. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, in other words, you're hearing My voice, you're listening to Me, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. He's talking about favor. Thirdly, we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Very important. Likewise, in Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that word, I looked it up, groanings means sighs. And in this verse, it's actually the Spirit who groans and not we who groan. I've heard people doing, whoa, they're making all kinds of groans and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? There are times when we will groan in the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. But there are people who do that because they want to appear spiritual. It's got to be authentic, right? God's certainly not impressed, and you're not impressing anybody else either. Just be yourself. Be real. Amen? But the groanings there, in other words, we are, there's a mystery here. We are peering into the unseen spiritual realm. There is a great person, the Holy Spirit, and great forces are at work on our behalf. We have the angels, amen? More with us than against us. And although we cannot see and understand it all, we can find encouragement in the fact that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us in our weakness. Thank God the Holy Spirit is there. I don't know about you, but I need Him. He helps me all the time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Amen. We understand that we have need of Him. And therefore, God will give, God will impart, because we are humbled before Him and not trying to do it in our own strength. Another condition of effective prayer is a faith of your heart, believing. James 1, 5 and 6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, what are some of the hindrances? Number one, selfishness is a hindrance to effective prayer. Selfishness. James 4:3, yes. selfishness. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, God's not going to give us or grant us a request that's going to exalt our flesh. God, I'd really like to have that Mercedes so I can sport it, you know. And secret sin. Number two, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalms 66 and verse 18. How many have discovered that that's true? That if you don't deal with unresolved sin, whatever it might be, if it's unforgiveness or a grudge or whatever, if you don't deal with that stuff, it's going to hinder your prayers. If you and your husband or your wife have gotten into it and you want to go to the prayer closet, and man, the only prayer you should be saying is, Lord, help me right now. Are you with me? It's not a good time for petitioning. It's just about, God, help me. Give me the grace so we can work this thing out. We can straighten things out so we can get back in harmony so that there's not going to be a hindrance to our prayers. Because the enemy is constantly seeking to put a wedge between you and your spouse. Amen? Because he knows if he can do that, he can hinder the effectiveness of your prayers. Okay? So we also need to understand it's bigger than that. But if it's a secret sin, David's saying, if I'm harboring something, if I'm living a lie, basically, you know, there's things that God has told me to deal with, and I'm not willing to do that, then your Father's not going to hear you. Are you hearing that? He's saying, but you haven't dealt with the thing I told you to do first, son. It's like being a knucklehead at home, right? Growing up and, you know, you're disobeying your parents and doing your own thing. And then all of a sudden you come up to them and say, hey, can I have 10 bucks? Or, well, did you do your homework? Did you do your chores? Or did you do the last assignment I gave you? Well, no. Well, go do that first and then come and see me. Come on. We've got to get into agreement with the Spirit of God. We've got to get into the agreement with the Father so that our prayers are not hindered. If my words are in you, he said. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Has anybody ever tried to pray with a guilty conscience? See, most of the time the devil wants to keep you with a guilty conscience too. Because he knows that you won't pray. And he wants you to do like Adam did, go and hide from God, rather than run to him and say, God, I'm sorry. When you blow it, he wants you to run away and hide. Stay away from fellowship. Stay away from God, you know? No. He says a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. And that true heart, it means a sincere heart. Sincere. The people of Israel drew near to God with their mouth, and they honored him with their lips. But their heart was often far from him. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 8. So our approach should be with utter sincerity. It reminds me of the time of Ezekiel, where they were coming before Ezekiel, you know, and it was a form of entertainment. Come and hear what the word of the Lord is. And he says, they sit before you as the people do, and they show much love, and you know, and they enjoy listening to you, and you're like a one who can play a song really well, you know, and they hear your words but they don't do them. And so it's about listening to our Father, because his commandment is not to take away your joy, it's to give you joy. His commandment is love. So what he's telling us to do is always good for us and good for others. Isn't that true? Has anybody ever have to give anything up because God told you to give something up? Right? Sure. Did you ever regret giving that thing up? Thank you. Okay. It's always good to listen to God. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers, because folks, we're talking about prayers. Prayers that can be answered, all right? That will be answered. And they'll be answered when we get into order. Okay. Another problem, another hindrance. Again, we've talked about is unbelief. Fourthly, unforgiveness. If we don't forgive others, what did the Father say? Then you won't be forgiven. Neither will your Father in heaven forgive you unless you're willing to forgive others. And that will pull the curtain over your prayers. Impatience is another one. When we pray, we've got to be patient. Wait on God. Ask. How many have heard the yes, no, wait thing? There's three things. It's either yes, no, or wait on it. And sometimes we need to pray through. We need to travail until the answer comes. Elijah prevailed on Mount Carmel because he persevered in prayer. When there was no sign of rain, and what did he do? He kept telling his servant to go seven times. Each time he went and he looked, nothing. He came back. What did Elijah do? He said, oh, well, I guess God's not going to answer my prayer. No. He said, go again. He kept praying. Amen? Until what? Seven times. And finally, the servant came back and he said, there's a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Get ready! It's going to rain. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you understand, folks, that we need to pray through till we break through? When there's a breakthrough, it's like, wow. Hallelujah. We need a breakthrough in our lives, in ourselves, in our families, and in our community. And our world needs it, doesn't it? But right now, we need to focus on ourselves and in our Jerusalem. There are so many people who are lost. So many people who are not going to see the reality of the kingdom until God's people get into alignment, into agreement with the Spirit of God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. It's time for God's people, amen, the royal priesthood, who have been given the privilege of approaching the throne of grace, amen, to call heaven in to our hearts, to our families, and to our world, wherever you live. Hallelujah.